hear from Knight, the Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, Martin Zender, back in my L.A. studio, my homemade L.A. studio, my real L.A. studio. Nothing false coming here from me, if I can help it. I'm transparent. I'm yours. I belong to the body of Christ. And I have something to say about yesterday, about Sheryl Crow. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you that was great? That was going to be great? Oh, I didn't tell you anything? I meant to tell you how great that was going to be. Many of you have written me, and I appreciate that. Thank you for your encouraging email, and I am heartened to hear how Sheryl's story encouraged you. And I forwarded your mail to her because she needs it. She needs to know that her life is making a difference in the body of Christ because she's dependent on a lot of people. She doesn't have much freedom. I call her Crowbird because I can't wait to see her fly, as I said yesterday. But in the meantime, she's very limited, very restricted. And I didn't share with you yesterday how limited and how restricted she really is. And I don't think I will be doing a disservice to either Sheryl or her parents. Her parents are very loving people. They sacrifice a lot to take care of Sheryl. But in the belief department, and again, I don't say this. I really have thought twice about even talking about this. I've tried to call Sheryl today. I can't get hold of her to ask her if I can talk about this. If you see this video, it means I've subsequently asked her permission to talk about a personal matter. And she will have given permission. But as I record this, I don't know what she's going to think, but I'm just getting it out because I think it's a good follow-up on the truth that I gave you yesterday, on the truth of this woman's life. Her parents don't like the truth. They don't like what Sheryl believes. They are mainstream Christians. And I feel safe saying this because I don't think they're going to listen to me. They don't like me. Or at least, let me say this, before yesterday, they didn't like me. It could be, and I kind of joked with Sheryl about this, that they like me more now than they did before. They had just heard about me. They had seen my books laying around. They hold me responsible for abducting their daughter, if you will, into this heresy. Of course, the heresy being the truth, that Jesus Christ is a successful savior, that free will is a myth, that God is the sovereign of the universe. Her parents believe none of this because, as I said, they're Orthodox Christian. They're Orthodox Christians. Charles Stanley is their hero, not Martin Zender. So Sheryl has a double whammy on her. Actually, it's a triple whammy. It's a multifaceted whammy, if I may elaborate. She depends on her parents for her care. She's living in their home. And yet she has to keep this life of hers in the spirit private. She cannot talk to them. Every time she has, she's shut down. She's marginalized. That's a nice way to put it. She's belittled. Because God, and I know why it is, because God has not given her parents faith to believe. Simple as that. I know that. That's the absolute viewpoint. Everybody's got that figured out in my listening audience. Only God can give faith. God has not given John and Luba, her parents, faith to believe. So it was a little stressful yesterday as I pulled into the driveway. As I told you, I was extremely excited to see Sheryl. At the same time, I was apprehensive about meeting her parents because her parents have burned my books. Literally. They have purged Sheryl of my books and related material. Not just me, but I'm the high-profile culprit in their minds. And yet, what attitude, this is why I'm sharing this with you, what attitude are you and I supposed to have toward this antagonism? We are ambassadors of peace. So I did not go to Sheryl's house yesterday as an ambassador of war. I did not go expecting conflict. I was on my toes about it, concerning it, but I was not looking for it. I figured my best offensive weapon in this case would not be to come in there guns blazing with the scriptures, believe or disappear for the eons. Rather, I was to be a living letter. And along that line, naturally, I bought a bottle of California wine, because I know that Californians are partial to California wines. They especially don't like wines from exotic locations where wine is purported to be the best, namely France. I stopped at a Rite Aid, a drugstore. But I bought a good bottle of wine at the drugstore. And it was a California wine. It was a reasonably expensive bottle. It was $15. I came bearing gifts, kind of like when Esau was meeting Jacob after years tension between the two brothers. And I knocked at the door boldly. No, I didn't. I rang the doorbell. I wasn't bold enough to knock. I rang. It actually takes more boldness to ring a doorbell. It's just unmistakable. Ding, ding. It's like, you're committed. Now you're committed. I could have snuck in the window, I guess. Yeah, actually, I could have. I actually could have snuck in the window. The whole thing could have been by stealth, now that I think about it. Anyway, my reputation preceded me. And so I have nothing against the parents of Sheryl Crow, John and Luba. Nothing against them whatsoever. I don't like what I hear from Sheryl about their... I almost tempted to put the word rabid in front of the word in front of the word antagonism, but I decided not to. I rang the doorbell and John answered, and I had the bottle of wine presented kind of. I didn't present it like a wine presenter, a sommelier. I just held it in my left hand, shook hands with my right, open face, greeted John. Nice to meet you, sir. And then I went. Now, Sheryl's mother, I saw her briefly, and she was moving across the living room. She did not stop to greet me. In fact, she went into another room. I thought, okay, that's it. I'm not going to meet this woman. She doesn't want me in her home. I'm an interloper. I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm the false prophet. I'm the one who led their daughter astray. But John, now, he's greeting me. And he and I start to talk. And this is where I learn the lesson. And this is where I help you, I hope. Paul says, I become all things to all people. To the Jew, I become as a Jew, that I might win the Jew. Note, the first thing Paul does is not slam scripture down their throat. He becomes as one of them. Now, I know John to be a farmer, and I know him to be a man of the land, and I know that he loves the produce of the land. He grows grapes, and these grapes shrivel up into raisins, and he sells raisins. And so I asked him about the drought in California. I asked him about the crops. He sat down, offered me some tea, and we began an easy conversation, a good conversation, because I jumped into his world. I didn't challenge him. I became as him. I'm genuinely interested in grapes and raisins, as you know. I made a video called Don't F with Grapes. I love the process of the sun touching the vines, producing juicy grapes, and grapes producing juicy raisins, and grapes being fermented in the wine. I just love the entire thing. So I had a great respect for this man. I didn't have to fake that. Honor to whom honor is due, tribute to who tribute is due. This man raised Sheryl. This man has taken care of her. This man has sacrificed a great deal of his life for his daughter. And I loved him for that reason. And I found him to be an agreeable man. And he was anxious to talk about his grapes and the crops and the drought. And I was genuinely interested, as I said. Now, at this time, I believe that Luba heard our conversation, and she came into the room. In fact, she strode boldly into the room. She extended her hand and shook mine. And she said, nice to meet you. And I said, it's very nice to meet you. And she said, would you like some tea? Now, I'm not a tea drinker. But you know what I said? I would love some tea. Do you remember the movie Aaron Brockovich? Aaron has an easy rapport with the people of the city in California, Hinckley, California, where there were victims, ironically here, of cancer, as Cheryl, but they got it from the groundwater, these people in Hinckley, from the giant corporation Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, which actually what drama unfolded near where I was visiting Cheryl. My point is that Ed, the lawyer, was not so easy with the people. Well, Aaron took Ed with her one evening to visit some of the people. Ed did not have a way of ingratiating himself with the people. So Aaron and Ed were sitting there talking to some of the families, and one of the mothers of a young girl with cancer asked Aaron and Ed if they would like a cup of coffee. And Ed said, no, we really have to be leaving. And Aaron shot him a look that could kill. And she leaned over and said, Ed, have a fucking cup of coffee. And Ed said, yes, coffee would be fine. Great scene, I love it. She had to tell this guy to become as one of the people you are with, to show them that you don't have an agenda, that you're speaking with them as a human being, as a member of the human race that's struggling upon the same planet. And so I said, yes, I would love to have a cup of tea. A cup of tea's not my cup of tea, but I was offered it, and I drank it. And the three of us, while waiting for Cheryl, the three of us, Martin Zender, Yuba, and John, fellowshipped around a cup of tea and grapevines. And it was good. And this is a lesson, isn't it? Now, maybe you're waiting for me to say that after that I gave them the evangel and they heard it and they rejoiced and they burned all their Charles Stanley books and they ordered more of mine. That's not what happened. But something profound did happen. And they found out that I wasn't a flaming, rabid scripture thumper with a mission to make everybody like I am. I'm in the same boat as they are. I'm a fellow human being. I have a message. I have a good message. And as you know, I'm bold to pronounce this message. I don't hold it back. But our Lord said to be wise. Wise like a serpent, didn't he? And so I was wise. But it wasn't a show. It wasn't a front. It was out of love. It's so easy for me to be loving when I'm with people. You know, I'm looking these people in the eye. I can get all attitude-y when I'm away, when I'm writing. And I have to be careful of this. Sometimes when I write, I come on strong. And it's easy to do when you can't see people, when you can't look them in the eye. But when you're looking people in the eye, there's an intimacy and a fellowship. And I think I planted a seed. I didn't plant a seed of the Word of God, but I planted a seed of a living letter. And this happened by the grace of God. And I thank God for the wisdom that enabled me to do that. And Paul's words hit home to me now. They always have, which is why I did that. But even more so, when I, almost as a third person, watch myself doing these things. I'm watching myself become as a grape farmer to a grape farmer, and as a tea drinker to a tea drinker, that I may win the more. And I pray that something I did or said that day will somehow make life easier for Cheryl. Maybe Martin Zender's not such a jerk. Maybe he's not the evil person we thought he was. And maybe Cheryl's not crazy for listening to this guy. And these are inroads. These are inroads into people's hearts. I'm certainly not saying to throw off the truth. You know me better than that. But I'm saying to place it. I'm saying to wrap it. I'm saying to present it with love. Not without strength, but also with love. I hope to take a lesson from this, from my own actions at Cheryl's home. I hope to take a lesson from myself. I'm not going to get all weak on you. I'm going to keep heralding the truth and strength. But may God help me more and more to administer it also in love.